coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, folks, to a very special report from HagmanPI.com, Hagman Investigative Services, and the Hagman Report. Really all the same entity, but, we more than just behind the microphone, behind the glass, so to speak, we, of course, are engaged in assisting other groups with the investigation of the hands-on operation of the rescue of child sex trafficking victims. You know what, folks? It's a very difficult subject to really address. But what I want to get across, a couple of points I want to get across very quickly here and at the outset of the show or this special report, is the level of evil that's out there. And the evil is ramping up. Now, there's always been this evil with child exploitation and child sex trafficking, but it's never been greater than today. And as I always say, it's the blood of the children or the blood of the innocent that is the currency of the globalists. And that's kind of where we're at. But I want to give you a special, I've got a very special guest, a man of many talents. And, after we lost Russ Dizdar a couple of years ago, just incredibly, man, that hurt. But I have to say this, what blossomed from the seeds Russ planted is a group that is incredibly effective, incredibly strong, and really at the tip of the spear in fighting all of what I mentioned, all of the evil I mentioned. And I'm absolutely beyond proud to have in my orbit, circle of friends, Luke from ShatterOps.org. And he's been on this show before, but I've got to say the growth, the impact that ShatterOps.org has had on the investigation side of things, the rescue side of things, the exposure of individuals right now is unparalleled. And I'm excited about it because this is really where the fight is. This is one of the most, at least in my view, one of the most important things that anyone can do, and that is really save the children. Now, Luke, of course, works domestically, and of course, the sister organization, SaveThem.org, that's the international component to the domestic side of Shatter Ops. And Shatter Ops and Luke and people around Luke have been working closely with Craig Sawyer, good friend of the program, good friend of mine. And of course, that's Vets for Child Rescue. All of the links will be right below the program title. And I would urge folks, if there's any organization worthy of support, it's Shatter Ops, ShatterOps.org. You can go there, and of course, you can support their work. Because with me, again, Luke is, and he's going to explain, and I'm going to come right out and ask him initially. It's kind of like, what have you done for me lately? You know what I mean? But what have they been doing? What's Luke been doing? And kind of an overview, nothing specific, nothing that would jeopardize any kind of investigations ongoing. But I asked him if he would mind giving a report on his activities, and he agreed graciously. And I think that's fabulous because, every time he puts his face in front of the camera, folks, I got to tell you, there is a level of risk. And I'll say this, what he's dealing with, what the team is dealing with, are people who really want him dead, want everyone dead. Anyone that would dare expose the level of evil that we're dealing with. I cannot understate that level of evil. And then there's the do I dare say more common pedophilia as opposed to the satanic and pedophilic parts? There's a surface level evil, but it's all evil. But with me, of course, so kind in his travels to stop in the studio and have an in-studio appearance is Luke from ShatterOps.org. Luke, thanks for joining me today.
Doug, as always, appreciate it. Appreciate your friendship. And, you know, like you mentioned, you know, the work that Russ laid the foundation on you know, standing on the shoulders of giants, you know, you included, and what you and Eric do that no one knows about, that you don't often talk about. You know, they can kind of pick up some ideas here and there just with the guys you're connected to. But appreciate all the work you do with us and the things that you're doing on your own on a day-to-day basis besides this show that no one knows about. But it is much appreciated for sure. And then me just being here and representing an absolute incredible group of people that Russ did put together. Obviously the Lord, the King put it all together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even including our relationship and with others that are, you know, just fighting for his kingdom. But, I'm honored just to be here to represent some fantastic people, that are just doing a lot of work. We're, you know, from the healing deliverance side, you know, just helping a lot of people. And then obviously the investigative stuff and the rescue things, just trying to put it all together, you know, to make sure that, you know, we're victim based in the sense that, hey, we may get a victim from the side that, hey, there's somebody that needs to get out of a situation, or it's, hey, somebody's coming to us for healing and help. And then, you know, that often leads to diving into it, investigative piece and figuring out what's going on and see how we can, take down, bring justice, expose it and help those who have been, you know, victimized by freaking perverts to ritual, satanic, ugly, really dark stuff that's really going on. Yes.
You know, folks, I'll just say this. If you would, if you could sit down with Luke or other individuals that are on the team and listen to some of the, I don't want to say stories, but accounts of what's taking place, what has taken place, what is taking place, and really what's scheduled, you know, on the schedule to take place. It would be very difficult for the average person to really comprehend when you're dealing with that level of evil where you're talking about really everything from child sex trafficking to folks, child sacrifice. And that leads into, and I don't want to go too far, but I mean, it's cannibalism. And it's all interrelated. And, but it's a very, very, very difficult work mentally, physically. It's taxing. I know that, Luke's seen, things that no human being should ever see. And, but you're correct. You know, Russ really laid that foundation, planted the seeds and out. If there was any silver lining to his passing, is the strength and composition of your group. And man, I'll tell you what, I'm really proud because I look and I see, wow, you know, the work you've done. And speaking of the work that you've done, I don't know how far you want to address this. Now, you're back from a southern state where there was an operation that you took part in. You want to address that to the extent you can?
Yeah. So there was an operation there, have some, you know, refreshing to be able to tie in with some law enforcement guys who were on the right page, ready to go after and bring down some of this corruption. You know, you wonder why no one would want to, but a lot of times, you know, it's political, it's their careers or whatever else, but some dudes with some kahunas who are ready to go after it, you know, because it is saving their community. It is saving their state. It is saving our country. If we don't start, you know, bringing some justice and making some of these evil, corrupt people, putting them on notice and just the fact that, you know, we're not going to allow that to operate anymore, then our kids are not going to grow up in a free country. I mean, it's that serious, and it starts with, guys being able to do that. So yeah, we were part of an operation with Vets for Child Rescue and some law enforcement, running some stings. Put together this operation, lasted about 3 or 4 days. And there's just some in this state. There's some unique parameters which made on one level it made it harder, but on the other level it actually allowed us to open up and be able to dive in and get quite a few warrants, like a bunch of warrants on guys who are, you know, chatting, soliciting sex for minors or what they think is a 13-year-old girl. You know, it's not that I didn't know and understand it, but just getting a little refresher even for myself, sitting with the chatters and the detectives on their end when they're opening up the profiles and doing all that. And just how quickly it's a swarm. It's like freaking a frenzy, a shark frenzy. Like seriously, like as soon as they jump on.
Okay, what you're referring to there is a decoy, so to speak, who is posing as a, we'll say a 13-year-old girl,
yep,
or young girl, chatting in this. So that's like the chum in the water for a whole bunch of predators,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for pedophiles just to jump on. So they're there with the detectives and, you know, hey, everything's above board. So if you can just imagine a picture of just an innocent girl, nothing, obviously nothing provocative, but just a picture of just an innocent girl putting her profile up online and just saying, hey, just, you know, kind of like I'm just getting on to the first time. And literally it is a frenzy of perverts that wow. just, you know, so we have a number of chatters getting just bombarded with just freaking pedophile pervert sickos and just what they would say. Yeah, it would be bad enough to say what they say to a flipping prostitute, but they knowingly are thinking they're talking to a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah, and imagine that. Okay, so imagine having those who are parents and grandparents, imagine that happening to your child or grandchild. And by the way, I've Luke, you were kind enough to share with us here, Eric the Tech, and others who are part of this, photographs of the operation. And I was amazed by the professionalism, just by the glancing of the photographs, how you had this or how this was set up. And I've been around this investigations for a ton of years, and I don't think I've ever seen such a well-oiled investigative team apparatus. The way you guys did that.
It was, and kudos to the law enforcement guys and kudos to Craig for putting it all together. I mean, we just, you know, played our small role that is part of the bigger picture of what's going on. But yeah, it was really nice to see the lack of just ego.
Yes.
That's what was cool in this specific operation as far as, you know, guys just laying down their ego and not, I mean, there's amazing things can get done when nobody cares who gets the credit.
And there it is. We have to, all of us, especially those people, in my view, those people who have a platform, we've got to, there should be no egos in any of this, especially when you're attempting to, and doing well and helping children. Now, let's, if you don't mind, get into, because it's my understanding, you were in a southern state. In an area where, I mean, corruption, you couldn't walk down the street without, you know, someone into corruption, right?
Yeah, and I would love to think it was just this certain state and town.
Right.
You know, I think it's, what is it, you know, Psalms 12:8, the evil abounds on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. And that's what we have in politics, in people in government. Of course, not everybody is complicit in that, but
right.
The amount of corruption that is in our politics and in our government, from the local towns to the city to the state, and obviously no sense in even getting in and talking about the federal government. I mean, like, who isn't?
Yeah.
It's sad because there are a few people, you know, Eli Crane and some other guys that are up there that are fighting for good and have a pair to stand up. But it's sad, and that's where not only us, but you know. People that have a moral compass, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, not only believers and Christians need to start getting back control. You know, I mean, I think it's Coach David always says, hey, politics is local, right?
That's right.
We better start getting a hold of local stuff and putting people that we know and trust in there, opposed to just letting some freaking schmuck that's, you know, in it for power and gain for their own, you know, mm-hmm. selfish reasons, run things. And it's sad. And it's really, even in not only this investigative, but it's some of the other stuff. And I know, you know, you're looking into it too on different cases, but just the level of corruption and the things that they'll do just to stay in power. You know, that's pretty maddening and disgusting. And then, just a slap in the face with us sitting down there with those chatters for 3 days. And I didn't see it all.
Well, okay. But let's, if you don't mind, I'm sure the audience would love to hear some of the behind the scenes mechanics, again, to the extent where you're not giving away the game plan or anything, but describe, really. Okay. So you have a decoy of a chatter posing as a 13-year-old, we'll say girl, boy, whatever. What happens typically? Because the operation I saw was not a small deal. It was big.
No, we had four individuals that were doing the chatting. And then the detectives there that are helping run that. So you're talking about two or three other guys that are helping run stuff to look into who, you know, as much information as we can get off of who we're chatting with to figure out who they are.
Right.
But they were so professional. They were so good at what they did. They were allowed to get actionable warrants on a lot of them, not all of them, because they have to, you know, meet certain criteria on what they're actually saying and what their intent is with the chatters, with these freaking sicko perverts who are just, I mean, it's disgusting the stuff that they would say to a, what they thought is, in this case, was a 12-year-old girl.
Okay. So, and this is important because this, folks, this is why Shatter Ops, Vester Child Rescue and Save Them, but specifically Shatter Ops in this case, it takes money, it takes time, it takes, I mean, the amount of effort that you put into this, you personally, as well as the team, you know, is beyond measure. So, and the difference in this case that, that I saw was with the detectives that you had there. You, once you really zeroed in on someone, in real time, you had detectives identifying the individual, and then based on the product, what they would say or send or text or whatever, communicate, then warrants would be written on the spot, right?
Yep. I mean, they had this system set up, and it takes, you know, people who are striving for justice on from the judge side, from the DA side, from obviously the sheriff, you know, the sheriff's or police department, those guys be on the same page. I mean, when they're on the same page and they're trying to, you know, fight corruption and, hey, if we can't get together on saving kids and protecting kids, you know, I think I said it last time, I was like, we don't deserve to be a country. You know, you think about, and I was talking about this with Craig, you think about all the money that was spent in the 80s and 90s on the war on drugs, the billions of dollars that was sent, that was spent on the war on drugs to combat. Yes, drugs are terrible and they coming in, but most of the time people are taking a decision to take them.
That's right.
And it's a terrible thing and it all should stop. But now we're having kids that are being preyed upon and we need to light up a war on the war on trafficking. Like if we don't do that, like it just shows the amount of corruption that we have from the top down. You know, if we can't fight for our kids and we can't have more law enforcement unit, like it doesn't matter about your promotion. Dude, your job is to save kids, save flipping kids.
Amen to that.
You know,
well, okay. If you can walk the audience through, and again, if you can't, I get that, but, without naming names, just give us an example. Like one or two cases, again, to the extent you can, of what it was like in that operation. Multi-day operation, multi-night operation. Give us an example.
Yeah, so, I mean, one, it started with having all those guys on the same page, right? From judges and DAs and police departments and all that, and having the detectives that they're pulling in to be able to spend the time and resources. Because, I mean, let's be honest, it takes a lot of time and resources, even on their part, right? I mean, they're pulling guys off of, you know, they're probably normally doing their typical, you know, beat or whatever to step in or maybe working overtime. Like, I don't know exactly what it was, but, I mean, there was a large number of guys that were committed, girls and guys that were committed to running this operation. So, you know, really late nights and early mornings because there was a lot to set up and do. So yeah, we had a location where, you know, girls, the teams were, you know, chatting it up, being the, you know, acting as those, you know, younger girls, had a house that was set up, you know, kind of a sting house or whatever to take down. They were getting them in. So, they were, again, it was so well thought of and what they did, you know, that they were actually working to get the actionable warrants, regardless if we were actually were taking them down or not, which we did. You know, some did. We actually got them to, you know, show up to location and head that way. So there are some that literally got physically taken down, but they were smart enough and sharp enough to be able to get actionable warrants, just even on, you know, when these guys were crossing the line on soliciting a minor and the things that they were saying, the pictures that they would show and the things that they were say they're going to do on a girl that was responding to, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm kind of, you know, that makes me scared. I'm uncomfortable. And they would still just come. I mean, it was infuriating. And I didn't even see all of them. I just saw a few of the chats and the things, man. It was, you know, and really just praying over those girls, you know, the girls and the people who were actually doing the chat. And, you know, I mean, I can't imagine listening to that stuff for 3 days straight,
man. So was it, obviously it was predatory in nature, what they were doing.
Very.
And if that would have been a real 12-year-old girl, for example, could you see, I mean, how would you describe the feelings of a 12-year-old girl seeing what you saw being received by that decoy?
Yeah. I mean, I mean, it churns your stomach. I mean, it will literally make you cry or cuss or both just to see what's written.
Right.
To any woman, much right. less who you think is a child. You know what I mean? And it's, wow. And it's not, unfortunately, it's not just, hey, it's this town. We knew that there was a bunch of perverts in this town. That's why we picked it and whatever else. No, that's not the case. I mean, unfortunately, we could probably set up the same thing and do it in your town.
And
I'm not talking about you specifically here. I'm talking about like any town in America, you know, because they will come from, I mean, we had, you know, one guy said he was coming from, I was like a 4-hour drive. I mean, it is insane. I mean, these dudes are just, it's just like a frenzy of freaking pedos.
Let me ask you, aside from the evil, what drives, because in my mind, I can't even reconcile that there'd be zero chance I would be doing that, sending out messages to a 12-year-old or any person.
Right.
But what's behind that? I mean, aside from demonic forces.
Right. I mean that's where it lies. I mean, these guys have such a drive. It is absolutely, it's mind-boggling, you know?
Wow.
You know, you could simplify it to say, hey, it's just demonic. It's a pattern of sin, deny truth, darken heart, depraved passions, where they're like just twisted and then depraved mind, degrading passions and depraved mind, you know, like in Romans 1. But that's where, you know, these people are. And I mean, if you're going to look into just the psychology of it, the truth of the matter is, hey, when we made porn a, you know, constitutional right for freedom of speech or whatever, it's like, you know, we explode. I mean, that's what we do in America, right?
Yeah.
It's like we build freaking pedophiles because kids are watching porn on their phone. And I thank God I didn't have a phone when I was in middle school.
Oh, amen to that.
I mean, good night. You know, I am thankful that I didn't have that. Because you say, hey, well, you know, I've got blockers on my phone. I mean, my kid's phone is like, well, you don't have a blocker on his buddy's phone who probably shows him porn once a day. I mean, right. There's no telling. I would probably say the average of once a day for a middle school, probably especially for a boy, you know, and it's like, and they start engaging in sexual things when they're that young, and then they run the rampant. Well, what actually really is going to turn them on? Going back to reverting to where it began for them. That is part of the big problem on the psychology piece, because, right, you're wiring that brain at a young age where they're not ready and prepared for it.
Well, you had mentioned earlier the war on drugs, and I apologize. I don't want to get too far off on different tangents, but I think the war on drugs is probably one of the most hideous, ill-crafted thing. I mean, they went after it just didn't work. Okay. Now, I don't know if that comports with your feeling, but it just didn't work.
Well, when you have corruption within,
yes,
you have some departments that are actually really going after what it is. And then you have some of these, you know, let's just for the black projects, literally using that to fund what they're doing. So
correct.
On one, you got one hand actually trying to stop it, spending billions of dollars. And the other hand, you got the same pieces, you know, not the same pieces, but different pieces of the same government actually using the drug trade to make money. And that's the corruption, right?
Yeah. And by the way, during that, during your operation, not just the pedophilia part of things, but you did uncover corruption or corruption was integrated into the pursuit of, or by the pedophilia and by the, well, how can I put this?
You're just because you're trying to tiptoe around it. And it's probably something that don't want to really get into right now, because that's some of that stuff's ongoing. But yeah, it goes more. It's going to go deeper and a lot further than just taking down some pervert. Make no mistake, out of this large number of warrants, there's going to be people in that category that weren't just trying to go dingle around with a 12-year-old.
Right.
They probably had the full intent of actually taking and trafficking.
And there it
that
is.
Girl.
And the Breitbart, Andrew Breitbart has said, you know, politics is downstream from culture. And I'll just leave that, folks, at kind of what I was tiptoeing around. But, and you're going to see some things. The operation by shatterops.org, or that included shatterops.org as well as Vesture Child Rescue. This is going to leave a mark. Your work is going to leave a mark, right? I mean,
well, I just kudos to collectively, because it's something that, I mean, obviously we couldn't do it on our own. You know, Craig and those guys couldn't do it on their own. So, being able to connect with some guys that, want to bring justice just because it's the right thing, we just need more of those guys to step up.
Can you see a point or a time, And this is unscripted. So again, if you just nudge me back into where you want to talk about, but can you see a time or an instance where maybe a detective out there or a police officer or even a member of DA's office in any town USA is listening or watching this?
Yeah.
And they say, well, you know what? We could do that in our community. Can they call you or can they leave a message for you like through shatterops.org?
Yeah, absolutely. They can go to our website and drop us an email and say, hey, we'd be interested in running some stings and bringing down some pedos, which I'd have no idea why you would not want to do that. But we would be more than willing to try to help and put together, you know, and sometimes it's, I mean, obviously we don't know everything. Craig doesn't know everything, but being able to say, all right, this is how you run it. This is what we do. Yep. This is what's been successful. And it may look a little different with everyone, but who's not going to want some wins? You'd have to be a pretty disgustingly, openly evil guy to be like, yeah, I don't appreciate, you know, what the cops are doing to bring down pedophiles.
Well, it's entrapment, you know.
Yeah.
And yes, some of the off-air, behind-the-scenes conversations really surprised me at some of the attitudes by people that you would otherwise think would have normal sensibilities that don't. But okay. Was there anything that surprised you, or what was the biggest surprise takeaway from the most recent operation you did?
And on that one specifically, man, just getting kicked in the face again with the reality of what dudes would freaking say to a 12-year-old girl. Like that there's that many perverted, evil sons of, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, and on the other hand, wow. It was refreshing to see guys that were willing to step up with no ego and they don't care who gets the credit. They want to bring justice and they want to clean up their town and they want to have true freedom where their kids can not be bombarded by freaking perverts.
Okay. And if I can stray into this area too, we see this push for LGBTQ, whatever crap that goes on, and the pushing that into schools and the drag queen story hours and all of this. Is this part of the same rot that is fueling the
pedophilia? I would say 100%.
Okay.
Obviously, you pull the string far enough, you're going to just get back to just evil.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the war against good and evil. I mean, that's it. Like Lucifer, Satan, I mean, he's driving people. Just like God uses people to move and do things, well, so does he. And he's driving people to do it. I mean, you hit it. And it's just it's the sexual just corruption and just deviant people who have gotten there where, I mean, who in their right mind would tell a kid, hey, yeah, you are a girl. You need to cut your freaking, it's like, you're going to cut it off. Okay. So let's just look at it in this reality.
Yeah.
All right. So you have somebody that maybe has been influenced to think that they're feminine or they're in the wrong body or whatever else. Okay. Well, instead of helping them and saying, all right, you got two choices. You can try to change their body or change their mind. One, which is easier? What should you be doing? What's not permanent? What's not going to screw them up for the rest of their life? Right? I mean, how simple is that? Okay. And you got these perverts who want to change their body. Why do they want to do that? Because they want to sexually corrupt them. So they feed off that. I mean, it's disgusting how even some guy is going to want to engage with a 12-year-old, a 30-year-old, a 50-year-old, a 60-year-old man is going to want to engage with a 12-year-old girl. It's like, it's the same spirit behind them wanting to literally, defile their bodies and sexually engage with this kid who's very confused. And man, they know if they do that kind of damage that they've won them over, right?
Man, yeah. And that, well, I wanted to mention that when we were talking earlier, I thought of Ashley Biden's diary. Mm. And I thought of the passage where she admits, you know, her dad showering with her at an inappropriate age. Well, I can't imagine any age, a dad and a daughter. But anyway.
Isn't it interesting that now, like you used to could see a lot of those YouTube videos of pervert Biden,
yeah,
like, you know, groping all these kids and sniffing and just like just very weird interaction with kids as he's vice president or whatever else. And like, you know, sometimes I can't imagine why the dad's just standing there letting this happen. I don't give a freaking crap if you're the president
of
the United States.
Son of a bitch,
golly. But, you know, they just wash that right away.
Yeah.
It's all cleaned up. I mean, you have to search really, really hard to find any of that stuff nowadays. Like, I don't even know if you could find it.
Well, there are compilations that have lasted out there, but you know, the unwillingness to really address that, that by itself, it should tell a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, folks, I want to say this too. You know, you're looking at a guy, I've got two guests in studio, one that drove, I don't know, 14 hours, another one that drove, 12 hours, or, you know, hundreds and thousands or hundreds of and thousands of miles, to be here, to be at different, operations. And, you know, please support these groups, but please look, I'm to the point now where I don't care if I never make another dollar, supporting shatterops.org would mean a lot to me. It really would, because you can't imagine when Luke pulls in blurry eyed and drooling from a 10-hour drive after working 30-40 hours over one weekend. And just please find it in your heart to reach out to shatterops.org and to support their fine work. That's all I'm going to say. Because I've watched these men and women work selfishly. I mean, without regard to their own selves. Okay. So I'm trying to really comprehend the level of evil that you've seen over the last couple of weeks. What about the southern border, for example? Would any of this explain the open doors of the southern border? Human sex trafficking, child trafficking? I mean, or is that too far of a, is that out of your immediate?
No, I mean, that's definitely some things that we're looking into, involved in, because you start pulling strings, they go a long ways.
The NGOs and stuff.
Yeah, these corrupt systems, you know, if it's coming down to, well, how are they moving kids? I mean, there's a system to do that, you know, plane, train, automobile, like there's a system that's doing it. So you got corruption in that. And then there is huge corruption in a lot of these NGOs that are supposedly helping, you know, they're getting all these monies from the UN and European countries and countries all over the world. And then our own government to actually supposedly help these refugees when they're literally trafficking them because there's money involved. I mean, you know, follow the money. There is some huge corruption in the lane of trafficking these kids. And I think we said it last time we were on the program. It's like, yes, our government, our federal government is in bed with cartels to traffic kids. They just are. They know dadgum well that kids are being trafficked. They know dadgum well how much the cartels are making a week. You know, we're talking $100 million a week.
Think about that, folks. And we're not talking just the federal government. You've got the state and local governments as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, so just think about that. You know, you got these corrupt cartels. Nobody's going to argue for how great they are, right? I mean,
right.
You know, you may have some American that's totally naive and they think and trust in their government and they think they're awesome. All right. You're heading your sand. However, nobody's going to argue that the cartels are good folks, except for the president of Mexico somehow, who's being like a freaking idiot. All right. But you know, when you're making $100 million a week, you can pay a lot of people off.
Yeah.
Right. You can corrupt a lot of agents that are supposed to be looking into it and the counties and law enforcement, and you can pay off trucking companies and get flights and let these NGOs who are happy in some cases to look though. Even religious, some of these religious organizations, NGOs, you know, I have a list of them. I don't know if I could, you know, rip them all off. Maybe at some point we'll make sure we can allow to say all their names, but maybe we will just roll down the ones that we know at least at some level they are corrupt. If not all the way through corrupt, making money on moving kids around, because when they move them, they make money. When they're housing them, they make money. And then they disperse kids. I mean, there's been a couple, you know, folks come out, whistleblowers, talking about, hey, I was a transport expert for XY NGO, and I was taking kids to these flipping, basically crack houses where there was already 20 kids, and I just couldn't do it anymore. You know, Carlos, I think Owen Schroyer or somebody had him on, or Alex or one of those guys had him on.
Yep.
And there's a few of those guys out there doing it. So yeah. Is the southern border a problem? Are there corrupt NGOs that are getting paid big money? Your tax dollars are getting sent to them for them to move kids. Yeah, you're paying for it.
We're paying for this.
Yep, you're paying for it.
Wow.
And so not only are you paying for that, you're also allowing the cartels to make hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
Off of trafficking humans.
And sadly, there's a demand for this product. And I'm sorry for even using that word with respect to children, but they look at it as a product.
Yep.
You know,
it's kid can be sold 20 to 30 times a day. You can only sell drugs one time.
Say that again.
Yeah. And this is like in some of the cases, and it wouldn't be surprised if there was, you know, it's not like I just is a one off. Right. 20 to 30 times a day, a kid can be sold to pervs.
Wow. And then we can go in any direction you want, but what about the, we often hear about the satanic ritual abuse, which Russ was really involved in. You and your team were involved in the investigation thereof, you know, and then of course saving, extracting the people, getting the information, and then helping those victims of that. So
yeah.
The ones that survive. So anything about that you want to convey to people for a better understanding?
Yeah. And obviously you can't get into, you know, a lot of the, you know, investigative stuff we're looking into and right. But as far as helping the victims, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, just imagine, you know, somebody who, has had some of the most evil, horrific things done to them in a lot of cases their whole life.
Man.
You know, born into a occult family, and just the trauma that they endure, which causes DID, MPD, you know, splits.
Right.
You know, most people would, you know, say, oh, yeah, I know somebody's bipolar or multiple, you know, or not necessarily multiple, but, you know, bipolar or schizophrenic or whatever the other names are.
Yep.
You know, a lot of times that happens because of trauma, and kids are, they just have the ability because it's a, you know, it's a natural God-given construct where, you know, if a kid goes through a really horrific thing, I mean, it could just, you know, it could happen to me if you know, I was in a car wreck or something. I use this example and a lot of, you know, my family, my kid, you know, my parents or whatever, they got in a, maybe they got all cut up and chopped up and were dead. And it takes a while to get me out of the car. Like that level of trauma could literally cause, you know, a child to actually split, which means it's going to compartmentalize that pain and trauma so they can just carry on. They can live life and carry on. They don't have to carry that piece. But you got these evil jokers that are causing that kind of level of trauma. Way, way worse to actually split on purpose and then demonize and control them. But the healing process for somebody like that, you know, it's not just a one and done thing. That it might be a one and done thing for somebody who maybe has some attachment. You know, it's not like the Catholic rite. It's going to take a month to you know, get rid of a demonic presence because we just do it like Jesus did. Power and authority that you have, anybody that's a believer and the Holy Spirit resides in you, you can help some of these people that have, you know, some stuff going on. But when you're talking about you know, somebody that is, you know, multiple DID, it's a little bit of a process. And you got to understand that when they start having memories and that pain comes up, they're no longer, let's just say we're working with somebody that's, you know, 25 years old, just to throw out a number.
Okay.
When they start having those memories and stuff starts breaking down, it as if they were their 7-year old self. So it's not like, hey, I'm 25 years old looking back on what took place. They're literally back there with the same mind frame and emotions and feelings and smells. And like they're actually experiencing it for the first time. They didn't experience it when it happened because they split. But then when that core person actually starts to have that memory flashback, I mean, it is as if they just happened. So how would you treat someone if you knew they just got, you know, molested or raped? You know what I mean? How
right.
compassionate and like, hey, we don't have to rush into anything. We want you to heal and be able to kind of process that. That could happen multiple times in the process of you know, trying to heal one of these victims. So,
okay. So you use the example of a person in a car accident going back to, you know, when they were 7, perhaps that's when the event happened. And then the repression of those memories. And then right. at 25 in your example, they become 7 again, relating the information to you. I guess the reason I reiterated that is there are a lot of people out there who have who don't quite understand. They may be well-meaning, but they don't understand the depth of knowledge that you have to have in order to help them. To me, you've got probably the equivalent of a PhD in assisting people like that. It's a process for you to learn because
we keep learning.
Exactly. Because when I first was introduced to this, it took me a long time to really understand. And the last thing I want to do is hurt, cause more hurt, cause more pain. And it's easy. Good intentions can cause bad problems.
Yep, absolutely.
So,
and that is the difference between somebody who, you know, a kid or somebody who had just been generally trafficked. Hey, they're going to maybe necessarily have some, you know, they might have some parts and stuff, or they just maybe have some, you know, demonic oppression and stuff. Kind of that's what came, you know, I mean, you know, read your Bible, you know, there's evil, horrific things. And those actually, you know, cause things to happen, opening doorways to the demonic realm and through, you know, rape and all that stuff. I mean, a lot of times, you know, the person who's doing that has some demonic stuff and that's going to transfer through that act. So there is a difference in, you know, helping somebody heal that way and having somebody who is been somebody has done this to them on purpose. It's just a different ball game.
Which by the way, does happen. I mean, there are government agencies that are involved in, you know, fracturing, not causing a car accident, but the trauma like you described.
Yeah, the MK Ultra project. I mean, we've openly talked about it in Congress, and of course, they supposedly were going to stop the project, which, I mean, that's a joke. I mean, if they were going to do something, they don't just stop it, you know, once they...
Right.
And, hey, look, they're trying to build super soldiers, right? And you can say, hey, well, other countries are doing it. Why shouldn't we? It's the, you know, hey... I mean, that's a really big can of worms to get into, but to really simplify it, it's like, look, they do that using demonic power to do some of the things that they are doing in the name of trying to split somebody to give them different jobs so they can compartmentalize, so they can go do something for the government, but they don't really know what it is. Their core person doesn't know because they've split them off, and that split has a job, and then that triggers them this. I mean, watch the Bourne movies, you know what I mean? That's what he was. He was a programmed, you know, super soldier, if you will. But you don't get that way. You don't split without some levels of trauma and drug, and, you know, they use technology nowadays. That's the old school way they used to do it.
Well, trauma-based mind control is what you're referring
to.
Okay. Yeah.
Project, you know, Monarch Project. Yep. There's you can look it up. I mean, it's not a secret on what they do. It's just, it's pretty wicked.
Okay. Now I've got a question about a specific case, that we talked about earlier. Before I get into that, is there anything, any unfinished business about what we just talked about that you want to address?
Just because, hey, look, that's some of the dark stuff.
Right.
And it is. And it's ugly and it's horrific, from just, you know, catching pedos to, you know, people trying to mind control people and MK Ultra Project to trafficking kids across the border. That's a lot of ugly stuff. What ways, you know, kind of balances that out a little bit is seeing Jesus. He is who he says he is. And his power and authority, and it's healing. He brings healing. He's near to the broken. And to see that on a daily basis, working with people, if that's over a phone call, over Zoom, or in person, you know, just see him, what you would say, like, that's a miracle what he just did. And then you get to see him do it again. You get to see him do it again. That, I want to give people hope, you know what I mean, to chase after the Lord, because he's got a job for you to do. And then... just in there, the Lord's waking up some warriors. The Lord's waking up some people who are fed up. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's about time they got fed up, but they're finally fed up. And there's going to be a move. And it really is now or never. And it's just a situation that, you're right, it is impossible, but God.
That's God.
It's everything. Like, it's done. It's over. It's too far gone, but God.
But God. Amen to that. Folks, my guest is Luke from ShatterOps.org, and you know, I've got Eric the Tech here, and Matt and Luke, and I cannot tell you how much respect I have for all of the people in this room and who are not in this room, but a part of the larger operational stuff that they do. I love these guys, and folks, please support them as you can. Okay. We had discussed on a couple of different occasions, and we had on Afia.
Yes.
Okay. If you want to recap her situation and then tell us where it's at right now, and even to the extent of why you did or she did what she did, why she had to do or what she did.
Yeah. So, and I'm just going to give you what I know.
Okay. Go ahead.
And so, you know, no surprise. There's corruption, and California's corrupt. And this is not the first case that we've had like this. So just to give people an update of what's going on, one, they gave her a gag order. to not even talk about any of this stuff, from what I understand.
Well, I'm not gagged, so.
Exactly. I'm not gagged. That's for sure. So maddening. They put a $500,000 bail, set a bail at $500,000 for. I mean, criminals, murderers don't get that. I think we talked about that before on our last conversation.
Well, for those people who don't know the story of Afia, just briefly, she's got two children, right? Yep. A Hollywood resident, married an alleged, what, an alleged something, I don't know. Yeah,
an alleged piece of trash.
To put it nicely. And then their children, he was abusing their children, allegedly, right? Mm-hmm. So she took them away from the harm.
Because no one would step in and help.
After multiple pleas, right?
And of course, and we've seen it time and time again. I mean, this is their playbook. Hey, I'll make you look crazy. In some cases they have. They're going to kill the wife. We're going to make you look crazy, you know, and all of a sudden they get the script flipped opposed to protecting her to now, like, all of a sudden she's crazy. I mean, this is what they do. They say, I'm going to try to make the wife look crazy. I'm going to try to get custody of the kids. No one will help. Of course, none of that was proven. And then you get corrupt judges. Yes, corrupt judges in this case. And, you know, DNA, I mean, they're all probably pervs and buddies together. Yeah. And it's no surprise. And, you know, then all of a sudden no one's helping her. And out of her own safety of continuous death threats and her kids being, you know, in harm's way, left under a federal statute that allowed her to leave and then go get a hearing in another state,
right?
Which Georgia completely failed to do. And of course, the excuse of, hey, there was COVID going on, so it was bouncing back and forth. But then there was a judge in Fayette County, Georgia, that allowed California to come get the kids. She never got her hearing. The kids, you know, and you could see on, I mean, if you have it, if you're not familiar with the case, I'd encourage you to go back and watch the shows, because we even show the body cam footage. And, you know, supposedly that there was, you know, only that limited point of body cam. Of course, there was a little bit more that didn't ever, you know, show up or get released. But even what you see, kids screaming, saying, hey, you know, dad said he was going to, you know, do this to me, and he was touching me here, there. He said he's going to kill my mom. And then they just don't do anything about it. They literally let the kids go back to California. So, yes, the kids are still in danger at this moment.
Well, OK, so even now, you, the Shatter Ops team gave her a safe house, essentially, or safe. No. Gave her a safe place to stay. Facilitated in giving her a safe place to stay.
We knew. Like, we were brought in to the case, just somebody, acquaintance that knew that, you know, we actually would try to do something, you know, because a lot of people talk big, that we would try to do something. So all this had taken place by the time we had been kind of read in on the case. And then, you know, we want to know, is this real? Is this he said, she said stuff? Obviously, the more we look into it, the more context that we have and other team members and other groups looking into things. There was a lot of people on the same page with her that were in California, that weren't in California, there was continued threats. And even just to, you know, what kind of scumbaggery we're dealing with right now, you know, some people were giving to our organization for her, and we had asked for that for her legal funds, and we're still working on that. We've set up a separate GoFundMe page for her specifically, her legal funds. Yeah, received death threats on that, you know, so you're talking about, you're threatening to do away with women that are trying to help, you know, us. It's like, all right, get in line, buddy. You want to threaten me, you know, there's a long line, you know what I mean? Big deal. But, you know, you're threatening, you know, to say, hey, you know where, you know, other women are that are trying to help raise money for her. Uh-huh.
Okay.
You know, legal fund.
Yeah. Okay. Now, it's, she had her children in a different state. Away from harm, the state of Georgia failed her.
Yep.
Returned the children back to the alleged abuser, her ex-husband.
And then charged her with two counts of child abduction, which she was just trying to protect her own kids, and she never was in hiding. So let me establish that. So when she fled to Georgia by the information that she was getting from some federal people say, hey, you can flee under this federal statute. So that's what she did. Getting to, it was Fayette County, Georgia, getting there, announcing that she was there, announcing that she wanted a hearing. So she never was in necessarily hiding. Like, she wasn't like, I'm taking the kids and no one's going to find me. She was openly saying, we're here, we're waiting for our hearing, please. And she was reaching out to them. Okay. And again, it was just like, you know, Keystone cops of like, oh, well, we passed it on to this group and passed it on to this group. And she never got her hearing. And then the flipping judge literally let California come back and take the kids without giving her a hearing.
Yep. Yep.
And then at that point, they filed two counts of child abduction to her. And then at that point, of course, by all the death threats she'd already gotten and the corrupt judge saying, I'll just put you in jail. You'll never see your kids. I mean, this is like, I don't even want to get into that freaking joker. But and this is in the first case. We got like four, I think, right now that were somewhat involved in with California. Wow. And just state corruption of them taking kids.
Wow.
If it's, you know, the Child Protective Services groups or this same game plan of a perv dad who's probably connected, you know, just somehow weaseling his way, or all of a sudden he's the good guy. And the mom who does nothing but care for her kid's safety, you know, when she speaks up and they find out that she's, you know, seriously going to do it, they just try to destroy her.
Well, okay, so the bottom line here, the last we spoke was she was going to turn herself over to the authorities to answer to the charges of kidnapping, well, abduction, child kidnapping, whatever, and voluntarily. So she traveled from Fayette County, Georgia to, Georgia to California, and announced, hey, here I am willingly. Yep. Okay, I'll try to do the things the right way. Okay, right, and so goes before a judge, and the judge, what, says, okay, your bond is going to be $500,000.
$500,000, absolutely.
You're not going to get your kids back.
Yeah. So the fact that she ran to try to get a hearing,
right?
But she thought she was legally doing that. And then they're going to charge her with child abduction when it's like, well, she never really, you know, tried to hide the kids or abduct the kids. She was literally just trying to get a fair hearing. And if Georgia would have, you know, gave her a hearing, you know, if they looked at all the evidence, you know, a real judge that's not corrupt looked at all the evidence, they would have probably at least given, you know, joint custody or, you know, whatever else, if not 100% custody of the mom. So then when they come back and take the kids, of course, you know, it takes a while for her to heal from the drama and trauma and scared because it was consistent death threats. There was all that. So, you know, finally, as she's growing in the Lord and she's getting courageous, she's like, I'm going back to fight it.
Okay.
So then feeling like that's her only option to go fight at first the charge of child abduction. So that's where she's at right now. So she's got a, what seemingly is a fantastic lawyer, but he is starting to understand and get a little taste of the corruption that's going on, because the DA in Pasadena literally said, okay, you know, of course he contacts them, say, hey, we're going to turn ourselves in. This is what we're trying to do or whatever. And they're in the, this, I think it was assistant DA, but it's still the DA's office. He's in charge of it all, saying, okay, yeah, no big deal. Yeah. We'll let our bond out, whatever. Well, they get to court the next day and they are fighting tooth and nail to even keep her from getting out. So he understood that, like, wait a second, I've never been lied to from a DA's office before.
Her attorney.
Her attorney's like, what in the world? I've never been lied to like that. Just bold-faced lie. I just talked to you yesterday and what you told me, and now today you're literally fighting against me. He's dumbfounded, you know, and then they set the $500,000 bail. He's just starting to get a taste of the corruption that's going on in California. So, you know, if you're a lawmaker in California, you're at the state house, I mean, y'all need to get some stuff under flipping control and start putting some pressure on some of these corrupt judges and looking into, somebody needs to be looking into these cases and getting the evidence.
Exactly.
And actually looking at it with an unbiased eye and decision. I mean, that's all we're asking for, is just justice. Like,
exactly. And to those people out there who saw comments from our last update, well, don't you shouldn't turn yourself in. It, you know, that's easy to say.
Right, it's easy to say when you're not seeing your kids and you think they're in harm's way, and you know, there's just,
you'll do anything.
Yeah, you. I mean, and I get it. You know, I mean, the other option is just to not play by the rules. You know what I mean?
We game that out.
Yeah. I mean, it's a hard take to ask somebody to know, like, hey, the legal system is 100% going to be against you, even though there's kids on the line.
Yeah, exactly. And the only, I mean, the plan B would have been absolutely, I'm going to say it would have been, if that would have gone bad, it would have gone real bad. So that's, again, you've got folks, if you're in disagreement, put yourself in that position. And until you're in that position, you have no idea.
And you already know you're dealing with a corrupt system.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You're already dealing with a corrupt system. And there's other states who aren't willing to step up, obviously, and do the right thing already. So it's a sad situation, but, you know, but God steps in and moves. But the situation is right now, she's fighting the criminal charges that she has against her.
Okay.
And then it's going to be a long fight for her to get some custody of her kids back.
And she has not seen her children.
No.
I mean,
no. And they were trying to say that, I think the DA was trying to say that, and all kinds of crazy stuff against, she'd never even been back to California. And right. They were trying to say that she was trying to impersonate somebody or whatever. I mean, just absolute BS from the word go. So they're just throwing all kinds of lies at her. I mean, I know for a fact that she hadn't been back to California until she went back to go fight for her kids and stand, because she's trying to do this the right way. I mean, she has done nothing wrong. She's done nothing wrong whatsoever. Of course, you know, California's going to say, well, you know, once we got the kids, you should have just come and turned yourself in. Well, I mean... how that's going to end.
Yeah, exactly. Now, she's got a Give, Send, Go, or she's got her own website, right?
Well, yes, but the Give, Send, Go is where you can support specifically her and her case and her defense fund.
Okay, all right. And what, the Give, Send, Go, how do you, I'm sorry? Defend the Defenseless, okay. Folks, it's right there on the screen. I'll put a link in the...
Give, Send, Go, Defend the Defenseless.
Okay, all right, perfect.
And you can also search APPHIA on Give, Send, Go. And that will pop up.
And that's APPHIA for those people who want to know, if you want to search. But otherwise, the link will be in the description box. All right, I know you didn't bring your sleeping bag, although it probably would be a good idea, given everything you've done over the last couple of days. What, in closing, or in however long you want to spend, what else and what haven't we covered that you maybe want to cover?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good little update. I'm sorry it's been so long, but I mean, our team has been really busy doing a lot of, I'm honored to be on it, you know, really. Right. I mean, obviously it is not even close to just me. We've got some incredible men and women that work, some behind the scenes on, you know, doing investigative work or extraction and helping people wherever we can. And then a lot of people just helping victims. You know, we get emails, we get calls, and we want to help. Even just, you know, teaching people how to get in the game on, you know, spiritual warfare. I mean, it is unusual because most people look at us and they're like, oh, you're into, you know, doing this. Like, most people either do the extraction side or they just do the healing side, and there's no crossover. You know, I think what makes us special and what makes us so effective is the fact that we're able to do both, because obviously it's the victim that matters. When you rescue, that's just the beginning of it. Like, what are you doing to get that victim healed? In a lot of cases, man, it's only Jesus and Jesus alone that can come in and help. So we just help facilitate it, and he does the work. He shows off and helps these people. You know, so if it's a victim that's being rescued, we want to, you know, walk them all the way through it so they're getting healed. And then if it's a victim that comes to us for healing, you know, and then we start finding out, you know, what's going on, we're not okay with just letting that group of people or whoever just continue to make victims. Then, you know, by that information, we start, you know, connecting some dots. And if it's actionable, you know, we got to work.
Wow. Folks, this is Luke from ShatterOps.org. And again, that's our website. I would urge everyone to support Luke. And I just, you know, if I wasn't strapped in with respect to the cables, I would give you a hug. But I want to shake your hand and I want to say thank you for all you do.
Thank you so much. We would not be where we are without your help either. I mean, you've helped us out a ton. You've given us a platform. And, you know, hey, we put in some time together on stakeouts. And yeah.
Some of the best, I've got to say to the people, some of the best time in the worst environments, but some of the best times for sure.
Yeah. So I will say this, because I've been using this a lot, just so people have a grasp of really what's going on. Never underestimate the evil a weak man will do.
Ooh.
Because good, we have good. So many weak guys that are in places of power. We've got, you know, I mean, I would just say it's a large majority of men in, you know, places in the government and different seats and stuff that are just weak. They are weak men. Never underestimate the evil a weak man can do, because there's things that they do. I mean, I can't imagine that they do it, because I would never even consider it. But I don't plan on being weak. But on the other hand, you know, the good that that men that are good, and you have to be strong to be good.
That's right.
You can't be good if you're weak. You're going to always at least compromise. If not, you're going to do evil stuff. And the wicked I've seen weak men do is just, I would love to say it's surprising, but it's horrific. That's for sure. I can't say that I'm surprised anymore because it's stuck in me, in my DNA to know that like weak men will do, you know, they're just freaking cowards and they will do despicable things to men. I mean, to women and to, I mean, boys, I mean, to girls and guys alike.
Right.
And they need to be stopped. Somebody needs to stop them. So arise, people who are strong and good and willing to fight and serve justice and have some righteous anger and do it in the right way and set the captives free.
The most dangerous man to the evil people out there and the most dangerous organization to the evil entities out there, shatterops.org, Vets for Child Rescue, SaveThem.org, all of the links in the program description box. Thanks for the update on AFIA, and thanks for the update on what you did here, were a part of this past week. My goodness. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah, we're glad to serve. Just try to do whatever he puts before us. But again, I thank you and Eric and the big role that y'all play.
Appreciate you, brother. And folks, that'll do it. And I appreciate you listening. Please share this on social media and visit our website to the organizations Give Deeply. God bless.